Join us today for Saints and Sinners as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners, your host Ken Johnston and my good friend Father Douglas Michael McKay. Hello, Father.
Hello, Ken, and hello to all of our listeners out there in Radio Land. Greetings.
And we want to praise and thank God for all our listeners and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your prayerful and financial contributions that have kept us on the air for over 40 years and allow Father and I to be here on these glorious Wednesdays. Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministry, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else who comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at ourhouseministries.org. If you want to get the highlights to the shows on Wednesday, as well as links to the recordings, you can subscribe to my Substack at notsaintsyet.substack.com. That's notsaintsyet.substack.com. I try to get the post out on early on Thursday mornings with the highlights and links. A couple of announcements before we get going here. Our golf outing is going to be held on October the 14th out at Tallamore Country Club in Ambler, Pennsylvania. Right now it's just to save the date. Once we have more details, we'll let you know where you can find them. Our Matt Talbot Shrine in the church at St. Gabriel's in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia is open on Tuesdays and Thursdays following the daily mass at 8:30 until approximately 4 or 4:30 p.m. on those days. If you're going to come down, get in touch with Father or I before you do, and we can try and meet you over in church. Plans are also underway for the centenary celebration of Matt Talbot, who died in June of 1925. So next year we'll be celebrating that centenary, the 100th anniversary of his passing. And a lot of activities are being talked about for that, including a pilgrimage to Ireland that'll begin probably around May 30th, May 31st, and culminate on June the 8th with that weekend in Dublin with a number of events around Matt Talbot's life. And speaking of Matt Talbot's life, we're trying to raise money to create a film about the life of Matt Talbot. It'll be both a documentary and with some acting out parts of Matt's life. And we've been approached by Joyful Films, who's done a number of videos for the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. But we need quite a bit of money in order to make this film happen. If you're interested in learning more about the project, you can go to matttalbotfilm.com. That's matttalbotfilm.com. And a couple of retreats that are coming up. We want to thank all those that came out for Kathleen's retreat this past weekend. We hope you had a great experience out at Malvern. But there's two retreats coming up I want to make you aware of. There's a men's weekend, August 16th to the 18th. That's my annual men's group, the Edward J. Friel Senior Memorial Group. It's not a recovery retreat. It's a traditional men's Catholic weekend, but it just so happens that about 70% of the guys are in recovery. Now, this year we have Father Bryce Lundgren coming in from Cheyenne, Wyoming, to be the retreat director. A young guy with quite a bit of charisma, I think, so you may want to you may be interested in that. And then the Matt Talbot Women's Retreat is coming up September 13th to the 15th. You can register for these two retreats or any others at malvernretreat.com. Click on register for a retreat and you'll get a whole list of all the upcoming retreats. Click on the one that interests you and then you can go through the registration process. If you have any questions about retreats, you can contact the Retreat House at 610-644-0400. That's 610-644-0400. All right, let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
And we start with the prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization. Lord, in your servant, Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you.
Our Lady of Recovery and St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
Venerable Matt Talbot and St. Maximilian Kolbe.
Pray for us.
St. Aloysius Gonzaga.
Pray for us.
St. Thomas More and St. John Fisher.
Pray for us.
And all the angels and saints.
Pray for us.
May the divine assistance remain always with us.
And may the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, this is a one-hour call-in show. Anybody can call in and join in the conversation. The numbers are 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. Or if you're listening from a distance, you can reach us at 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-2484. Now, we want to have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment when we come back from the break at the bottom of the hour. In order to do that, we'll need you to call in. We'll give out those phone numbers again before we go to the break. We are currently in the 12th week in Ordinary Time in the liturgical calendar. And the saints in the calendar this week, the Nativity of St. John the Baptist was celebrated on Monday the 24th. Tomorrow the 27th, we'll have St. Cyril of Alexandria, Bishop and Doctor of the Church. On Friday the 28th, St. Irenaeus, Bishop, Martyr, and Doctor of the Church. And then on Saturday the 29th, Saints Peter and Paul, Apostles. I also noticed in my missal today that today there was a could have celebrated the Mass for Saint Jose Maria Escriva, the founder of Opus Dei. Last week there were some saints that we didn't get to, and still a little bit behind because of various reasons. But anyway, we thought we would start today with St. Aloysius Gonzaga, whose feast day was on last week, right? June the 21st. Yep. And St. Aloysius was born on March the 9th in the year 1568 and would die on June the 21st in 1591. So he just cleared his 23rd birthday. When he would pass away. He grew up in Italy, eventually made his way over to Florence, and this was all during the Renaissance age. And despite what was going on at the time and growing up in a princely family, in royal courts and army camps, he managed to get on the path to sainthood at a very young age. At the age of 7, he experienced a profound spiritual quickening. And beginning then, he would pray the Office of Mary, the Psalms, and other devotions. At the age of just 9, he went to Florence to be educated. By age 11, he was teaching catechism to poor children, fasting 3 days a week, and practicing some great austerities. And then when he was 13, he would travel with his parents and the Empress of Austria over to Spain, and there he would become a page in the court of Philip II. For Aloysius, it was quite an experience seeing court life, and the more disillusioned he became, the more he sought relief in learning about the saints. And we're going to see in the 5 o'clock hour today, we're going to be talking about the El Camino and St. James and the number of saints that not only traveled the Camino, but were actually from Spain. So living in Spain, he would learn about the saints, and then he read a book about Jesuit missionaries in India, and so he thought about entering the Jesuits, the Society of Jesus, and he did this in while still in Spain. like a lot of other saints who were called to vocations as younger people, their parents often objected, and in this case, it took 4 years for him to convince his father that he wanted to renounce his succession and enter into the Jesuit novitiate. Once he got there, he was faced with a new kind of penance, if you will. We mentioned before he had all these austerities, and including a lot of fasting, scourging, and what have you. And now his penance would be that he would have to eat more, that he would have to take recreation with the other students. And so he had to follow the rule. And that would also exclude being forbidden. I found this interesting. Father, he was forbidden to pray except at stated times. So he had spent a lot of time in prayer before he got to the seminary. It was almost like he was restricted in that prayer life. He would spend 4 years in the study of philosophy, and had another saint and doctor of the church, St. Robert Bellarmine, as a spiritual advisor. Then came 1591, when a plague struck Rome. The Jesuits had opened a hospital, and a number of the Jesuits would provide personal service to the patients. And in the course of doing that, Aloysius would contract the plague himself. He would have some recovery, but the fever would persist, and as a result, he could barely get out of bed. He maintained his discipline of prayer and would eventually die within the octave of Corpus Christi at the age of 23. Again, that was on June the 21st in the year 1591. St. Aloysius Gonzaga, whose feast day we celebrated the other day on the 21st of June. Father?
Yeah, 23 years old. A saint. Did it all in 23. Like you said, he was seven when his spiritual life quickened. But prior to that, Ken, his father, you know, the army, the soldiers, he was always hanging around the military. He would carry a little, you know, wooden gun, you know, in line. And he quit their bad language, you know, bad language of the soldiers, and he started to use the bad language. And yet he didn't know anything was wrong with that language until somebody corrected him, and he was filled with shame and sorrow. His father was a governor of Montserrat, you know. And but, yeah, every morning and evening, prayers from boyhood. And it was a complete self-surrender. You know, always remember our first words of our Lord in the Gospel of Matthew, when John didn't want to baptize, he was reluctant, and the Lord said, allow it now. John, just surrender to what I want, not what you want. And this is what saints do. They surrender, and they take the Word of God, they marry it, and no corner cutting, no shortcuts, no compromises. They're so faithful to the Word of God. And because they are, the Lord, they have that promise from the Lord that the Lord will reveal himself. And so he was getting really beautiful experiences of the Lord at a very young age. I mean, he dressed modestly. You couldn't even see his bare feet. That's how modest he was. You look today, you know, even on our altars, you know, modesty, it seems like out the window, you know. It's almost like half naked anymore. You know, but he was very modest, lived that whole gospel, right? And then he started having these wonderful experiences of the Lord, even when he was at the dinner table, there'd be ecstasy. And he loved meditating on the attributes of God. And you know, we're big on the present moment. Talk about that a lot. But that would be one of the attributes of God, you know, his abiding presence. He's all present. That's an attribute. God is all present all the time. I don't have far to go to meet him. You know, he's closer than a 911 call. He's less than a thought away. You know, and when we pray, we should just put him right in front of us, that he's right there listening to every word we say. He loves us, you know. And he worshipped in his bedroom before his crucifix. He was always kissing the images. You know, but just went on fire. Went on fire with God's love. And when he joined the Jesuits, he entered it like into a celestial paradise. And Ken, he had more than you can shake a stick at. He was first in line for the inheritance from the royalties of his father, and he just gave it over to his brother and left it all. He left it all. He found the fine pearl. He found the hidden treasure. Nothing could compare to that. And he left it all. And when he came into the to the Jesuits, he entered the cell like it was a celestial paradise, a little cell. And all he had was a bed, a table, a bookshelf. But it was all this. He had heaven on earth. He had heaven in his heart. And it said, like Robert Bellarmine, you know, his director, his spiritual director, confessor, and others would say, he never committed a mortal sin or even a serious sin. And he asked Robert Bellarmine if one can go straight to God without purgatory. And Robert Bellarmine said, yes, you can go straight to God without purgatory. So revelation, he would die soon, filled his heart more spiritual volunteers. He helped the sick, you know, always out there. He's the patron saint of Catholic youth because of his catechetical instructions to the youth. But he knew he was dying, 23. Loved his mother. He loved everybody. Loved his father. He loved his friends. He didn't want to leave them. But he wanted God more, and he knew where he was going. And he was happy about that. He was delighted about that. It just reminded me what Jesus said, that anyone who loves children or wife and spouse and more than you love me is not worthy of me. You're not worthy to be my disciple. I hear people all the time saying, you know, that they lose their spouses, their loved ones. And I understand this, you know. They've been together for 60, 70 years, whatever, you know. But, oh, I can't wait to get to heaven to see my beloved John, my beloved Mary. You know, what happened to God? You know, we wouldn't have a beloved John and beloved Mary without God. I mean, everything's from him. He loves us totally and completely. And it's like when we get to know this God, he's first and foremost. I remember my mother said, and sister in the first grade said that, you know, you have to love God more than your mother and father. Well, at that time, you know, I said, I can't love God more than my mother and father. You know, I'm looking at, they feed me, they dress me, they send me to school. But, you know, as time goes on, I wouldn't have a mother and father without God. And I can honestly say I love God more than anything and anybody, with all my heart, soul. You know, that's where I come from. He loves me, and it's in that love I find all of his gifts, all of his peace, all of his attributes. But he knew he was dying, and I just wanted to mention how he loved his mother. And he wrote a letter to his mother when he was dying. And I just want to read a few of these lines. He said this to his mother. Take care above all things, most honored lady, not to insult God's boundless loving kindness. You would certainly do this if you mourn as dead one living face to face with God. One whose prayers can bring you to, in your troubles, more powerful aid than ever could on earth. He's saying to his mother, when I'm in heaven, I'm going to be praying for you, and you're going to get more graces because I'm in heaven interceding for you from my place in heaven with God. And he goes on, these beautiful words, I write all this with one desire, that you and all my family may consider my departure a joy and favor, and that you especially may speed with a mother's blessing my passage across the waters until I reach the shore to which all hopes belong. I write the more willingly because I have no clearer way of expressing the love and respect I owe you as my son. Boy, he loved his mother, but he loved God more. He knew who he was. He knew where he came from. He knew where he was going, to the bosom of the Father. And Ken, this is the thing, like so many saints. We have the Jesuits, right? You know, Ignatius of Loyola, when they're all around with Francis Xavier, the first Senate, they're saying, what name should we come up with our order? And so they hear this company come by, soldiers, and they're beating the drums and all. And Ignatius looked out the window and he said, that's our name, the Company of Jesus. Jesuits, the Company of Jesus. Now listen to this. Ignatius of Loyola died with his last word, Jesus. Francis Xavier, with his last word, died, Jesus. And here, Aloysius' last word, this is how he left it. He kept saying, first of all, they didn't know he was dying. He called you know, his confessor in to say the prayers for the dying. And they didn't think he was dying, but he knew it. He knew that he was dying. And Robert Bellarmine started the prayers for the dying, and he kept saying, I'm going to heaven, I'm going to heaven, I'm going to heaven. And he kept saying, into thy hands, into thy hands, into thy hands. And between midnight around June 21st and 20, 20th and 21st, right around midnight, his eyes on the crucifix. His mother taught him how to bless himself. With the eyes on the crucifix, about midnight, on his lips was the holy name, Jesus. And he left. That holy name, it's such a powerful prayer. We don't even see it as a prayer. But it's so great, that prayer. Jesus. You know, we know the name comes from God the Father through Gabriel. You know, his name shall be Jesus, and we hear through Joseph, because he will save his people from their sins. But more than that, he will save his people from their shame, from their guilt, from the fallout of sin. But more than that, he will save his people from death. And even more than that, he will save his people for eternal life, for that place in heaven, all with that holy name of Jesus. You know, so many saints died with that holy name. At night, Ken, I like going to sleep. Sometimes I can hear my heartbeat, those two pulsations with the two syllables. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Matt Talbot's prayer, Jesus mercy, Mary help. Jesus mercy, Mary help. How many times does that name is invoked by those who love him so much? But I was thinking also, Ken, when I was at Holy Family Home, there was a mother of the Little Sisters of the Poor, Connie. I have to have her in my book. And little sister came in at the watch with her mother. And the little sister says to her mom, Connie, she says, let's pray the rosary. And Connie looks up and says to her, too long. I have another prayer. What is it, Mom? Jesus. I was called in that same day, and her eyes were open and fixated above us. And I could see her lips moving and mouthing, Jesus, 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 save me, save me, save me, Jesus. You know, Francis of Assisi, that would go up to the tabernacle, kneel down, moisten his lips, and pray, whisper the prayer. And they would go, what kind of saints what kind of prayers does a saint say? And they would listen. All they would hear, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You know, I could be in the stadium, Ken, with, 70,000 people. I hear, Father Doug, you got my attention. And we have his attention. We have his name. It comes from the Father. His name is Jesus, because he would save his people from their sins, bestowing us all salvation. Just end with this little story, if you can imagine this. The devil somehow muzzled God the Father. And God the Father signed for a tablet. And he asked the devil if he would just let him speak one word. One word. And the devil was intrigued by this. He said, what word? What word can... Anyway, he takes the muzzle off, and the Father speaks that one word. Jesus. The devil's conquered. Death is conquered. Shame and guilt is taken away. And the fullness of life is bestowed upon us because of Jesus, his holy name. Pray that prayer over and over again. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. So short, so powerful. It pierces the heavens and rains down all the graces that we need by the holy name of Jesus. We ought to bring back the Holy Name Society, Ken. St. Gabriel's was one of the biggest Holy Name Societies. But there's a power in that name, the holy name, Jesus. Pray with our hearts, and we'll be in communion with him. Amen.
Amen is right. And, we're talking about St. Aloysius Gonzaga, who, you know, only lived to the age of 23. And what caught me was, you know, it started at the age of 7 with him. And I wonder how many of our young people running around on this planet today are maybe being called to that at a young age, but not having it nurtured or recognized. And, we're going to canonize another young person pretty soon, Carlo Acutis, who was only 15 when he passed away, and like Aloysius Gonzaga, had a lot of knowledge infused in him at the age of 7 or 8 when he made his first communion. And, you know, it sometimes causes me to look at our young people look at them differently, in that, you know, you wonder what's really going on in there. As, you know, we're privileged to work with a lot of folks that are in recovery, and you know, those that come to Calyx and get to share about their faith life in light of the 12-step program, and how almost to a person they talk about how being able to be in that situation, in that scenario in Calyx, being able to share with other Catholics their faith as well as their recovery, and how, you know, there's just something inside them that's finally satisfied when they find us. And you know, it goes on in everybody that we see, everybody that we pass on the sidewalk or meet in the supermarket has that same yearning within them, and you know, probably 90% of the population doesn't even know what that yearning is. And to be blessed to know it at the age I am at 63, but even more so for those young people that that catch it early on and don't have to go through a lot of the suffering and misery that we put ourselves through. They may go through suffering and misery because God allows it to happen in order to draw them closer to Himself, but they don't have to go through the years of turmoil that we inflict on ourselves because we weren't sure what that yearning was, or we kind of knew what it was but didn't think it was going to be satisfying, and we had to find our own way. But you know, we have Aloysius Gonzaga in the 16th century, and now Carlo Acutis here in the 21st century, who you know, got to experience it at a young age and recognized it, and you know, one's already a saint, and one will be one in the not too distant future. I think we find out next week when that canonization date's going to be.
You know, Ken, and how so much alike the saints are, like Carlo Acutis and Aloysius. They both, you know, Mary was their patroness, an advocate, the Blessed Mother for Aloysius. The angels, especially the guardian angels, the same with the two. You know, they're so Catholic. They take all the means of the Church. And Eucharistic, several visits there, you mentioned that they had to tell him, that, you know, to pull him out of the chapel with all the visits that he was making. You know, it was in the morning prayer, it was like an hour, and then 2 hours at night, and all these visits to the Blessed Sacrament. And they had to get him and say, look, we have a rule here, you have to follow the rule. But he, even a lot of saints, like Dominic himself, they, you know, they had to pull him out. You know, he would sleep on the steps of the Eucharist, that the real presence was real to them. But all the saints, you know, they're so gospel-oriented, they marry the Word, they do the devotions, they do the self-denials, they listen to Jesus, they do whatever he says, and the promise of the Lord is that I, you know, I will reveal myself. And that's the debt that Jesus owes us. You do this, and I promise you eternal life. I promise you abundant life. I promise you complete joy. Shalom, shalom. Do what I say, and watch what happens, you know. But to live that gospel way is to live the narrow way, and it's to live the way to heaven, and it's to live heaven on earth, like the saints.
Amen. We're quickly approaching the bottom of the hour already. We're going to take a break in a minute here, and when we come back from the break, we want to have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment, but in order to do so, we need your phone calls. The phone numbers here are 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, where if you want to call us toll-free, you can reach us at 888-343-2484. Why would people be calling toll-free? Well, there's a number of ways to listen to the show these days. Not only do we broadcast over the airwaves at 800 a.m. WTMR out of Camden, New Jersey, but you can also catch us on the WTMR radio app on a smartphone or tablet, and the WTMR website if you're on a computer. And last but not least, over Facebook Live. If you want to get a glimpse of what I actually look like, you can tune into In His Sign Catholic Radio on Facebook and watch not only this show, but all the shows Monday through Friday. So we're going to take a short break, but before we do, any final words on St. Aloysius, Father?
No, that's okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
All good?
Yeah, all good, Ken.
All right, brother. We're going to go ahead and take a short break. When we come back, we're going to have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Every experience God gives us, every person He puts in our lives, is the perfect preparation for a future only God can see. My name is Anne McGlone, and I am sharing this inspiration with you today during this powerful radio program, In His Sign Catholic Radio Network, hosted by Kathleen McCarthy. The Lord called Kathleen to prepare us for a future only God can see. This is a program and a radio network which captures, elevates, inspires, and catechizes the hearts of all who listen. Kathleen is preparing hearts through this ministry as she ministers in hospital rooms privately, global conferences, and personal prayer times with individuals who listen and perfect strangers in the street. The Lord is inviting you today to become a faithful listener, for He wants you to set your heart on fire through this radio network. Are you willing to listen in the silence of your heart? This is the question the Lord is asking you. God bless you.
To you, our faithful family of listeners, no words can express how much we appreciate your standing in the gap with us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. It is truly your amazing prayer power, your undaunting commitment, that has enabled us to stay on the air, no doubt about it. Be assured of our daily prayers, not only for you, but for your families as well. We pray that God will continue to bless you as you bless us. To join us and become a ministry partner, visit our website at inhissign.com or give us a call at 610-527-2906.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and my good friend, Father Douglas McKay. If you haven't visited our website recently, I'd encourage you to check out inhissign.com. If you happen to miss a show or part of a show and want to listen to the recording, if you go to inhissign.com and click on content and then podcasts, you'll get a list of all the shows in chronological order with the most recent shows at the top. And you can actually go back through a number of years that are on there now. So if you miss a show, you can always listen to it or re-listen to a show that you particularly liked. I'd like to keep you up to date on what's going on with the Catholic Society, a great organization for Catholics that are in 12-step programs, where our motto is, we substitute the cup that sanctifies for the cup that stupefies. Father McKay and I and a bunch of others get together every Tuesday in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia at our Matt Talbot Chapel at the corner of 29th and Dickinson Street. We get started at 6 o'clock with adoration, followed by Mass, and then Calyx meeting. On the third Tuesday of the month, we go over to St. Gabriel's Church for a Matt Talbot Holy Hour, followed by Mass. In July, that'll be Tuesday, July the 16th, will be the third Tuesday. Everybody's more than welcome to come and join in prayer for all those that are still struggle with active addiction, those that are in recovery, and, of course, those that love them. We have a unit at Queen of the Universe in Levittown that meets on the first and third Thursday of the month at 7 o'clock in the Parish Center. Their next meeting will be, I think, on July the 18th. The first Thursday in July will be 4th of July, and I'm certain they're not meeting that evening. The Glenside at my home parish at St. Luke's in Glenside meets on the third Saturday of the month. We join the parish for 8:30 Mass in the morning, followed by a Calyx meeting. Our meeting in July will be Saturday, July the 20th. The unit out at the Malvern Retreat House, you'll find Father McKay there as well, meets on the third Sunday of the month. They have 4 o'clock Mass in St. Joe's Hall, followed by refreshments and then a meeting. The third Sunday in July will be July the 21st. There's a unit at St. Francis of Assisi in Springfield. They meet on the last Saturday of the month, beginning with the 4 o'clock Vigil Mass, followed by a Calyx meeting. They'll meet on Saturday, July the 27th. And in nearby Wilmington, Delaware, we have a Calix unit that meets at St. Matthew's every Wednesday. They begin with 6:15 p.m. Mass, followed by a Calix meeting. In the 5 o'clock hour today, I'm going to be joined by Father Greg Markey, written a fascinating book called Discovering the Camino de Santiago, A Priest's Journey to the Tomb of St. James. And real interested in talking to Father about the way that he made. I think it was back in 2009, because I think my wife and I may at some point be traveling to Spain to do the Camino as well. So you'll want to stay tuned in the 5 o'clock hour if you want to learn about that. So without any further ado, we're going to go to the phones. And let me give out the phone numbers real quick. 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or toll free 888-343-2484. We do have an open line, and we want to have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment, but we need you to help us out. Now we'll go to Frank. Hello, Frank.
Hello.
Hey, brother. How are you?
There you are. Good afternoon, Mr. Ken Johnson and Father Douglas Matt Talbot McKay.
Uh-oh.
Welcome back, Father.
Hey, Frank.
What's going on, brother?
I missed the very beginning of your show today. Are you aware, or did you mention about the officer that we shot on Saturday to pray for him?
No, we have not.
Did you hear about it?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, everyone just keep him in your mind. Everyone pray for him. Officer Roman Saturday night was shot in the neck doing a car stop, and he's in the hospital, and I see him in the mail later. And he's married, wife, I think one or two small kids, and so keep me in a prayer to everyone listening. That's all.
Yeah,
for sure.
Now,
Frank, what's his name?
Officer Jamie Roman.
Jamie Roman. Yeah. 25th
district.
Stop right now and pray 25th for him
district.
And the family.
He's at Temple ICU right now.
Okay. Ken, we'll say a prayer right now.
Six-year veteran, 31 years old, married, one or two small kids.
I don't think you can hear me, Ken.
Yeah. No, go ahead, Father Frank. Father wants to inject a prayer here.
Okay.
Yeah, Frank. And for him, Jamie Roman, and for all the officers in his family, and just all those who are listening. And thank God for our officers. In the name of the Father, His Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Dear Jesus, you are the divine physician, the doctor of mind, body, and soul, the greatest psychoanalyst, and also the psychotherapist. Just ask that you bless all the officers to bring peace in all their hearts during this crisis time, but especially Jamie, who are just to bless the doctors and the nurses, the caretakers, to make him well, and his family members who love him so much, and just to bless him, Lord. Through the Immaculata, St. Joseph, through our healing angel, St. Raphael, and all the angels and saints, dear Lord, please bless Officer Jamie Roman, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for letting us know, Frank.
No, thanks for saying a prayer for him. Yeah. We all need it, but especially him right now and his family. Really appreciate it. Anyway, just want to say hi, Father Doug and Ken, and everyone listening. Get sober and stay sober. Have a good one, guys.
All right, brother. You
too.
Thank you,
Frank.
Thanks, Frank.
And I'm going to light a candle in my private chapel when I get done the radio program for Jamie and all the officers. God bless, Frank.
Thank you, Father. Appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Thanks for calling, Frank. Again, the number's 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906 or call toll-free 888-343-2484. You got an odd or God, Father?
I do. I shared it last night. I'd like to share it again. And it's kind of like a carryover from last week, St. Anthony of Padua, the lost and found department. So what had happened, Father McGuinn came to visit to the gatehouse. He's the I followed in his footsteps as rector of Malvern. And I ran into him down by the Family Life Center there, and he said, I'd like to see the Heaven's Gatehouse. I said, all right. He said, you have the key. And I told him where the key was. And went down, went around, actually went to confession and went up and visited our chapel. Had a great talk. He left the key on the table, gave it to me. He said, you got the key? I said, yeah. I put it back where I hid it. And the next day I went out looking for the key, and it was gone. And I couldn't imagine. Did I put it up there? And I'm saying, I got to retrace my steps. I went up through all my clothes, my pockets. No key. I'm praying. Dear St. Anthony, please come around. Something is lost, cannot be found. If you find it, return it to me. Dear St. Anthony, how happy I will be. So I got in the golf cart. I went through the whole pathway where I was. And then I walked the path up and back. And I came back and I looked again where I lost the key. And I moved the trash can. I swept around the pavement with the broom. And it was gone. And I'm praying over and over and over that St. Anthony prayer. And I'm starting to doubt now. All the time they found something, well, maybe it was only a coincidence that I found it. I can't remember praying that prayer and not finding my lost article. And I said, this is one of those times. So I forgot about it. And, you know, I get up the next morning, and I'm going to feed the birds. And I go out. Right at the step, in the glitter of the sun, is the key. Now, hey, I swept there. I did everything. And there it was. Boy, was my heart burning. And all my doubts left me, and St. Anthony came through again, and there was the key. But was that odd, Ken, or was that God?
Nah, definitely not odd, Father. And, I think it happens more times than it doesn't, and we just need to be aware and have our eyes open to what God's doing, you know, at every moment. And for whatever reason, that's been on my mind a lot lately, in prepping for a show that didn't happen a couple of weeks ago, and looking at Alphonsus Liguori's Uniformity with God's Will, and tapping into Dan Burke's book and knowledge about it. And it led me to Pierre de Caussade and Abandonment to Divine Providence, and, you know, trying to live that every moment in God's will, and learning quite a bit about not only, you know, what God is trying to do for us and with us, but what he allows to happen to us. So, it was over the weekend. It was kind of odd. I got probably a half a dozen phone calls on Saturday, and people weren't leaving messages. I don't know, and I wasn't sure if they were dialing me by mistake or not, or what was going on. But in the one case, I shot a text message back to the individual, and asking, I saw you called, you didn't leave a message, is everything all right? And the person called me immediately, and, a person that was in recovery and accidentally was given a drink with liquor in it, and was taken by surprise. It happened in a restaurant, and the way they reacted wasn't ideal, and there was some embarrassment as a result. So not only did they, take a swig of liquor that they haven't been near for, close to 10 years, if not 10 years, and just the way they reacted, they were embarrassed. They embarrassed their spouse, probably some of the folks that work there and what have you. But anyway, we were talking, and I was able to relay the that I had a similar experience. Somebody handed me the wrong drink by mistake, and I didn't look at it before I put it to my lips, and taken by surprise, I didn't get too upset about it, but I realized right away that what I had been given had alcohol in it. But where the otter God came in was, we hung up, and I sent them a text message a little bit later that evening, because it struck me in this reading I've been doing from Alphonsus Liguori and Jean-Pierre de Caussade, that this idea of living in God's will every moment, not just looking for the things that God wants us to do, perhaps, but every moment, everything we're doing, to look for God in that moment and to thank him for it. And so I told the individual, you might want to consider in your prayer to thank God that it happened, and not that, God necessarily caused it, but God allowed it to happen in order to bring about a greater good. Perhaps there's a particular virtue that you need to take a look at. And so you know, I suggested, you know, do that in prayer to thank God for what had happened, even though, you know, didn't like it at all. And then maybe ask God to reveal to you what it is that he wants to bring about as a result. And if God doesn't give it to you or give you a clue, to ask Our Lady under the title of Our Lady of Sorrows to do it. And I just got a simple response of thanks on Saturday evening, but it was on Sunday morning when I got a text message saying that the individual did what I had suggested, and that they experienced a peace that they've never experienced in their life before. And you know, the odd or God is that they, you know, that's not me. It came through me, but it was of God, and it just so happened that in the last couple of weeks, it's been where a lot of my focus has been, both in my reading and my prayer life. And so, being able to pass that along to somebody and seeing that those kind of results, you know, no doubt it was God, but it's all about the timing. You know, things can happen, you know, any time in our lives, any time in the day, the week, the month, but when it happens to coincide with something else that's going on in life, that you know, it lets you know that, you know, God is definitely playing a role, that He's trying to push you or pull you or get you to where He needs you to be. And so it was a lot of consolation on Sunday when the individual got to experience that peace.
Yeah, there it is. You know, Ken, what you say is so true, that anything good, it comes through us but not from us. And that the teacher and the preacher, we set the table with food, but it's the Spirit, it's Jesus who feeds and touches the hearts as the Lord touched the heart of that particular person. What a great Calyx meeting we had last night. My Monsignor Major is coming down, and we had three priests there, you know, myself included, and Father Shea, and all the great sharing. And I shared that story. You shared that story, Otter God sharing our faith. And the whole thing was what I said last night. When I saw that key, and when you heard that story, you know, where that individual felt that peace, it's like, there it is. You know, it's not St. Anthony. It's coming through St. Anthony. But it's that divine touch. It's like that, wow. It's like the heartburn. You know, like the Emmaus story, as they were walking down and Jesus was talking to them. Were not our hearts burning within us when He spoke to us about the you know, the prophets? And it's like, there it is. You know, all these things that happen, all of a sudden we have this heartburn. And it's the Lord directly touching us with Himself. And there it is. There it is. And that's what the individual felt. That's what you felt with the peace. That's what I felt. That's what we all feel. The divine presence. God's will is being done. He loves us. He wants to touch our hearts. He wants to touch us deeply and unite us in communion with Himself. And all these little things that happen, it's all divinely orchestrated. Nothing happens by chance. There are no coincidences, only divine incidences. Outer God experiences, divine winks. You got it, Ken. There it is.
Amen.
But that was a great meeting last night, Ken.
Yeah.
I just wanted to mention that. You know.
Yeah. No. And you know, for those that may be on the fence about checking us out, I mean, if you want an opportunity to grow in your faith, to be able to share your faith with other folks in recovery, sometimes in the 12-step rooms, it can be difficult to do. People don't want to hear about religion per se. You know, they're spiritual, not religious, and what have you. But even the, you know, the people that are there, you know, we've been hanging out together for 15 years now, since 2009, and you know, the number of people that God has brought to us and that we've seen be able to grow in faith, to see the light come on, to welcome them back. And just to see how they appreciate the faith. And then, you know, when they share their odd or God stories or other things that are going on in their lives, especially in the light of their faith, we witness to one another. And on any given day, you know, people can struggle with depression or the dark night or, you know, the desolation, whatever it may be. And we're not always going to be, you know, on our game every day, every moment. And so we need to witness to one another you know, what God's doing in our lives so that we can, or what they're doing in their lives so we can see it in our own life. I think the same thing happens with, you know, some of these gospel reflection groups and other groups of people that get together on a consistent basis, where they're willing to open up and share what it is that God's doing in their life. And when we do that, you know, there's something special that happens. I think that's why God made us to live in community, not to, you know, have us all. I mean, hermits are great, but I don't think, you know, all 8 billion of us are called to, you know, live by ourselves and not in touch with other people. And it's through that community that we, you know, can help one another grow in faith. And Calyx is just a great extension of that for those that struggle with addiction.
How true.
Yeah. So, the phone lines are clear.
No callers.
Nah, not today. I guess everybody's on vacation that time of year. Which, you know, and even, you know, we said that last night, the attendance at Calyx has been down a little bit on Tuesday nights. People are, I'm sure, away on vacation and have stuff going on. But, you know, it's not the quantity, it's the quality. And in the last few weeks, especially in Grace Ferry, the quality's just been awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we want to talk
about... The smaller the group, the more intimate.
Yeah. We want to talk about a couple martyrs. We got about 8 minutes left here.
Yeah.
So last week we didn't get to St. Thomas More or St. John Fisher, the English martyrs. Both died in, I think, 1535. I got Thomas More in front of me. And a lot of us know Thomas More's story, especially if you've seen the movie A Man for All Seasons. But the bottom line is, you know, Henry VIII decided that if the Catholic Church wasn't going to bend to his ways, that he would break away and start his own. And so came about the Anglican Church, and it was, you know, either sign up or, in a lot of cases, be put to death. A number of English martyrs, but I think two of the most notable are St. Thomas More and St. John Fisher. And they just refused to bow. And, you know, I think in our own lifetime, this may happen. We've of course have seen martyrs in the Middle East over the past couple of centuries. I was reading about the consistory that's going to take place for Carlo Acutis when they officially vote to canonize him and come up with a date. That there's a bunch of Franciscans that are also up and that were martyrs in Syria, and so. These are people that were willing to, you know, give up their lives for the faith. And, you know, the bottom line is, I think today for all of us, we're called to a martyrdom. Most of us, it's a white martyrdom where we need to die to self, to try and put that ego at bay and you know, live in the divine will, try to do God's will and give up our own will. And who knows? I mean, there may be the red martyrdom coming for some, this crazy world of ours, and the people that are trying to exercise their own human wills over the rest of us. We just continue to pray for our church, pray for our especially the leaders in the church, continue to bring us closer and closer to God through our faith. So I don't want to take up all the time, Father. You got comments on St. John Fisher and St. Thomas More?
Yeah, just how fearless they were, you know, just so beautiful saints. And it all about conscience, you know. Other people, they were, you know, signing what was the Act of Supremacy and the Act of Succession. And they had that little clause, you know, as long as it's God's will and I'm not interfering with what God wants. And so they're telling, like, Thomas More, that, you know, Megan, the family, four kids, that, sign it. We all signed it. You know, you can sign the same way as long as it's, you know, according to God's will. He said, I can't. Not even my conscience would let me do that. And they said, well, we signed. And Thomas More had a great line. He said, well, okay, look, You go to heaven because you followed your conscience. And I go to hell because I didn't follow my conscience. Will you come down to hell to visit me? So it was all about that conscience, you know. And conscience is so precious. It's the voice of God. What was it? C.S. Lewis said that God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks to us in our conscience, and shouts to us in our pain. But it's the voice of God in conscience. He's always speaking to us. You know? And that's so beautiful. It's like the Word of God. And the Catholic Catechism says this, that the aboriginal vicar of Christ on earth, aboriginal means first and foremost vicar on earth, is not the Pope. It's your conscience, you know. But of course, we have to have an informed conscience. But you know, we know when we do wrong. You can be on an island, never heard of God, and you know what's right and wrong because it's God indicting us, the Holy Spirit indicting us from the inside out. So all that conscience. But you were talking a lot, Ken, about you know God's will and the office of readings. There's a wonderful ending of the office of readings, and I just want to read that paragraph about God's will because I know we're short on time. It said this, and he's talking to his daughter, Meg. And therefore, my own good daughter, do not let your mind be troubled over anything that shall happen to me in this world. Nothing can come but what God wills. And I am very sure that whatever that be, however bad it may seem, it shall indeed be the best. It's beautiful, like what you were talking about, God's will. It's always good that's going to come from it. You know, he doesn't permit anything unless he can bring a greater good. But we should strive to do his wanting will, not his permitting will. We should want to do what he wants us to do, live that gospel completely and all. But there's another story about Thomas More that I always thought about. Roper, he was kind of like a revert to the faith and all. And Meg, you know, that was her husband, would go to her father and say, Dad, Thomas More, would you go talk to Roper for me about God? And Thomas More would go, and he would talk to Roper about God. And then Meg would come back and say, Dad, would you go back and talk to Roper about God for me? And Thomas More would go back again and talk about God, but it didn't seem much response. And Meg came again, Dad, would you do it one more time? And Thomas More said, Meg, I will no longer talk to Roper about God. I will now talk to God about Roper. And he brings Roper to prayer, the power of prayer. And Roper has his conversion. So beautiful, you know, the power of prayer. That life is fragile. Handle it with prayer.
Amen. Well, speaking of prayer, we've just about reached the top of the hour. So I want to, again, praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for being with us in the first hour here with my friend Father McKay for Saints and Sinners. In a couple of minutes here, we'll have What the World Needs Now, and our guest in the 5 o'clock hour. I should be joining us shortly to talk about Camino de Santiago, the Way of St. James in Spain. So we get your blessing, Father.
Okay. In the name of the Father, and the Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Lord, through your priests, in persona Christi, all those who are listening, the whole world, just bless us all, Lord, with that peace and joy that the world can't give us or take away. And bless our mission work for you and all for your honor and glory, salvation of souls, and for our own sanctification. Bless us all real good, especially Officer Jamie Roman and all of our police officers, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Mother Mary, St. Joseph, Venerable Matt Talbot, St. Maximilian Kolbe, Thomas More, John Fisher, and Alicia Gonzaga, and all the angels and saints, our patron saints and guardian angels. Pray for us.
In
the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Thanks, Ken.
Thank you, Father. I'll see you in the morning for Mass. For our listeners, we're going to take a short break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.